don't get high that way.
The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love the air.
Ah, yes, good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Thursday, November 15th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. But personally, and most importantly to me, a milestone I, for many days, did not think would ever occur. Today is my 1,000th podcast in the marijuana community. I did 908 episodes of the Normal Show Live and Normal Daily Audio Stash, 908 of those, and today is episode 92 of The Russ Belville Show, and even when you go to public school, that still adds up to 1,000. So this is the Kilo Show, I guess, and it's all because of you guys. Thank you so much. I only exist because of your support, and if you want to throw a little more of that support my way, please do. RadicalRuss.com/donate. This is independent marijuana media by, for, and about the cannabis community. You are the voice of the marijuana nation. I'm just the megaphone. I'm just the amplifier. Hey, welcome to the show today. We got a great show coming up on our interview today at 5:30. We got Rebecca Richmond Cohen. She is the director of the documentary Code of the West that chronicles the rise and fall of Montana's medical cannabis industry. This is kind of a Montana-centric show today because, unfortunately, we have terrible news to have to deliver after a long, long battle and very bravely fought. Cashy Hyde, little Cash Hyde, the 4-year-old medical marijuana patient in Montana, did pass away last night. There is some controversy surrounding that. And when we go behind the headlines today, we're going to take a look at the Missoula Police Department, their treatment of Cash Hyde's family in their time of grieving. And hopefully somebody in Montana will be giving a call. I sent my feelers out to all the contacts I've got there. Hopefully an hour or two, we'll have someone to talk from Montana, give us an update from Big Sky Country. Let us know what's happening. Also in the news, we got more counties in Washington dropping pot possession charges in the wake of legalization passing. And now in Europe, they're taking a look at their laws with regards to marijuana, thanks to us passing marijuana legalization in two states. We got plenty of headline news and some radical rant at the end. What are we going to do about the driving under the influence now that it exists? All that and more coming up on my 1,000th podcast here on The Russ Belville Show.
You cut people, you smoke trees till you get what you need now. Designer drugs and minted smoke to get through the day. You always get them so high.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to The Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Rock on, Wisconsin.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here.
And now it's time for your 420 headline news. I'm Russ Belville with the news. The American Civil Liberties Union is fighting pot distribution cases when people are simply sharing marijuana. Prosecutors have claimed that sharing a small amount of marijuana among friends constitutes drug distribution, punishable by up to 2 years in prison, civil liberties advocates said today. The actions come by prosecutors even after voters in a 2000 referendum decriminalized possession of up to an ounce of marijuana, the American Civil Liberties Union of Massachusetts said. Matthew R. Siegel, the legal director for ACLU of Massachusetts, said in a statement, quote, "The Commonwealth is simply wrong to argue that sharing marijuana constitutes criminal distribution. More fundamentally, the Commonwealth's argument contradicts the will of the voters who approved marijuana decriminalization in 2008. The voters sought to limit marijuana prosecutions, not invite creative ways for the Commonwealth to increase them." In other news, out of New England, state legislators in Rhode Island and Maine announced marijuana legalization bills, according to the Marijuana Policy Project, which held a press conference today. Rhode Island Representative Edith Aiello and Maine Representative Diane Russell were a part of that conference call. MPP also says similar proposals will be submitted in at least two other states, Vermont and Massachusetts. Spokane County in Washington is now dropping some marijuana cases. They will no longer prosecute adults for possessing less than an ounce of marijuana. Spokane prosecutors joined prosecutors in King, Pierce, and Clark counties who are changing policies after voters approved Initiative 502, the marijuana legalization law that takes effect December 6th. Chief Criminal Deputy Prosecutor Jack Driscoll told the Spokesman Review that the change will have minimal impact. Spokane County currently has one possession case that falls under the new guidelines. But Westward is reporting that in Boulder County, the Stan Garnett, the district attorney there, said his office will not prosecute pot offenses that will be legal once Amendment 64 is signed into law. However, Weld County District Attorney Ken Buck, a vocal critic of Amendment 64, released remarks stressing that his office isn't ready to walk away from any pot cases just yet. The statement reads, quote, "Our office has an obligation to prosecute offenses that were crimes at the time they occurred. Accordingly, we will not be dismissing existing marijuana possession cases. But more importantly, our office prosecutes low-level possession cases to get drug users help with their addictions. That practice will continue until state law changes," end quote. Also, Jefferson County's district attorney's office is not planning to alter its tactics until after Amendment 64 is signed, likely before or after the first week of January. And while the Denver district attorney's office hasn't been as definitive on the issue thus far, no move to drop cases has been made to date. And few police departments in Colorado have joined the Boulder Police Department in announcing that they will no longer issue citations on such matters. Berkeley Medical Marijuana Collective will be ordered to close. There was unmitigated praise for the benefits of medical marijuana at the Tuesday night city council meeting, but there was also unanimous consent that the Perfect Plants Patients Group was operating illegally and would have to shut its doors. Code Enforcement Officer Gregory Daniel enumerated the various charges leveled at the Perfect Plant Patients Group, better known as 3PG. Its location near Sacramento and Oregon Streets violates zoning rules requiring a minimal 600-foot distance between schools and medical marijuana distribution sites, he said. The operation is in a commercial area where only licensed dispensaries are permitted to sell medical marijuana. 3PG has no license, Daniel said. 3PG calls itself a collective, but has some 4,000 members. The 3PG zoning certificate is for a retail clothing establishment, Daniel added. The city and 3PG supporters were at odds over the question of the distance between the school and the storefront. Perfect Plant operator Eric Thomas told the council he'd hired a surveyor who said the distance between the two was 619 feet. City staff said it was 546 feet. Deshaun Nicholas said 3PG was being singled out unfairly, noting that 3PG is right next to a liquor store. And finally, the U.S. states of Washington and Colorado have voted to legalize the possession and sale of marijuana for recreational use. This has reopened the debate in Europe, and particularly the Netherlands, where marijuana is not formally legal but sold in coffee shops. The president of the Maastricht Association of Coffee Shop Entrepreneurs says that since a law has been introduced to ban tourists from coffee shops, his sales are down by 85%. And this is your 420 headline news for Thursday, November 15th, 2012. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we're going to go behind the headlines and take a look at the case of Cash Hyde, the medical marijuana patient in Montana who just passed away last night.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
The Russ Belville Show.
I'm not very good at singing songs, but here's a try.
According to lifelong pot smoker and rocket scientist Carl Sagan, making apple pies from scratch is extremely difficult.
If you wish to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe.
Radical Russ and the Rolla J Studios crew will be right back after these messages.
A morning filled with 400 million suns. Rising of the Milky Way. Cosmos is full.
13 after the hour, time for us to go behind the headlines. And last night, if you were on Facebook late here, even in the Pacific time zone, it was about, I believe, 9 or 10 o'clock when we received the unfortunate news that Cash Hyde, the 4-year-old medical marijuana patient who touched all of our hearts in the marijuana activism community, had passed away due to complications involved with his continuing fight with cancer. And you can visit Cash Hyde Foundation, and you can find more information about Cashy and his fight to survive. He'd been diagnosed with stage 4 brain cancer, and I had met his father, Michael, and I believe I've met Callie, but I'm not sure. I meet so many people when I'm on the road, but I'd been in Montana maybe 2 years ago, I think it was, at one of their events. Cannafest Destiny is what it was called, and got to meet the family and got to see Cashy, and you know, such a vibrant little boy and fighting against such long odds. And so many of us were touched by his case and about how marijuana and medical marijuana, the way it had been treated in Montana, affected his family's ability to get this boy help. And they found such great relief in using Rick Simpson oil, the very highly concentrated hash oil preparation, and that this was controversial for so many people in the mainstream that followed this. You know, this garnered national attention, this idea that you would give medical cannabis, you would give some sort of marijuana to a child for a medical treatment. And of course, that door gets opened by the fact that, you know, here's a kid with stage 4 brain cancer. What are you worried about? That opens some people's minds, but really it just goes to show you how much the demonization of marijuana and how much this prohibition on healthy people using it has affected the frailest and most sick people that need it, and made it more difficult for them to get this medicine and to talk to their doctors about it and work with them. Now, I'm reading from KRTV.com in Central Montana is reporting on some of this. Of course, he's built the Cash Hyde Foundation, an extensive group of supporters all throughout the cannabis community. And according to the report, it says Cash would eventually reach the stage of remission. And last spring, it appeared he had beat the cancer for a second time. But the disease reappeared in August. The family then continued to try several alternative treatments, including using medical marijuana. Well, also understand what happened between spring and August in the state of Montana in their medical marijuana program. Understand that this was when politically their legislature is going after medical marijuana, going after everybody who's involved with it as if they're some sort of criminal, reacting to the outrageous actions of a small, tiny few that were making medical marijuana look terrible in Montana. But here's these people trying to, you know, keep their little child alive. And there's the legislature arguing about repealing the entire program. Understand, that's what was going down. Repeal the entire medical marijuana law. And it passed. This is how fragile the winds we have in the marijuana community can be. You had an entire legislature voting in lockstep and succeeding in repealing medical marijuana in a state where there was national attention for a stage 4 child with brain cancer who had seen benefit from using medical cannabis. And still, they were able to get through a repeal, only to be saved by the governor's veto. And you can see how in this last election, where there was the referendum, should we keep, because after the veto of the repeal, then the legislature came back with SB 423, which was repeal light, which basically made it, you know, okay, you can get medical marijuana if you have 6 days to live and you keep yourself chained to a radiator in the basement. Nobody ever sees you, right? I'm exaggerating, of course, but they made it so difficult. They made this law so difficult to follow that it's almost worth not having a law. I mean, of course, any law is better than none, but it's really bad. And they were able to do that and pass that in this election in Montana with broad majority support to keep this new crippled medical marijuana law. Even in the face of this, even in the face of this story and so many other stories in Montana where their people are such genuine users, getting genuine benefit from the medical use of cannabis. So understand that in the passing of Cash Hyde, we've got to remember that he didn't die in vain, and that we continue to fight for the next Cash Hyde and the next kid and the next kid and so many kids who are going to be helped through the use of medical cannabis. So many promises in the fight against cancer. You know, we spent the entire October watching pink everywhere we look, and every month that comes up, every time I see those pink ribbons come out and the pink on the NFL fields, all I can think of that is that it's great we're getting awareness, but we're getting awareness of the wrong color. It ain't pink, it's green that's going to beat cancer. So in the passing of Cash Hyde, let's not pass up the opportunity to continue to fight in his name. Now, I was going to talk a little bit about a controversy there. Apparently the family was upset about the way the Missoula police handled the situation. They posted on Facebook, "I would like all of Cashy's fans to call the Missoula mayor's office and complain how the Missoula Police Department and coroner's office treated my family only minutes after Cashy passed last night. 5 uniformed cops came to our house only 20 minutes after he passed and pushed their way in. I asked if they could leave, as we only wanted family so we could mourn, and they refused. Then they told us they were taking him, and we had to argue with them for 45 minutes that Cashy was staying with us. They completely disrespected our family and Cashy's moment of peace. That's from the Facebook page. I'm encouraging anyone who has direct knowledge of this to call up in our hour two. The phone number will be posted in our second hour if you have direct knowledge. And if anybody else just wants to talk and remember and offer condolences to the family of Cash Hyde, which we all offer here from the Russ Belville Show. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will have our daily toker tune, Groovin' Thursday Music from Black and Brown out of Detroit. And then we've got Rebecca Richmond Cohen from Code of the West, also about Montana.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Hi, this is Dan Michaels. If you're looking for professional voice talent for your commercial or podcast, I'm your man. Visit danmichaelsaudio.com for more information. You want to legalize it? Call your congressman today. 202-224-3121. It's free, it's easy, and you don't even have to give your name, just your zip code, and they'll hook you up to your congressman. Call 202-224-3121 and tell Congress you support marijuana legalization.
Liberate your mind, liberate your mind, liberate your mind, that's what you got to do.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip-hop, soul, and funk music. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, everybody, 22 after the hour, and coming up at the bottom of the hour, we got Rebecca Richmond Cohen from the movie Code of the West. It's premiering this Friday at the Clinton Street Theater, and I will be there as part of a Q&A after discussion, after the film. It starts at 9 Pacific time. I'll be there along with Jennifer Alexander and Shelley Fox Loken from Leap will be a part of the panel as well. And again, that's part of our Montana show that we seem to be having today in that we talked about Cash Hyde, and now this Code of the West documentary follows the story of the Montana medical marijuana program. So we'll let Rebecca talk about that at the bottom of the hour. Also want to let people in the Portland area know that if you're interested in catching me playing music live, I'll be playing with my rock trio, Gary Savage and the Far Side. You can check us out at the Knuckleheads Bar on Foster here in Portland, Oregon, playing some blues and classic rock. I'll be on bass along with Cousin Kenny. If you know Cousin Kenny from the chat room, he'll be there playing drums and singing as well. All right, let's get to our Daily Toker Tunes for today. Today, we've gone to the IOTA promo net to find some pod-safe material in the hip-hop and R&B genres. And today, we get Black and Brown, a duo out of Detroit, Michigan, two performers there that are putting together all sorts of really cool beats. And I think you'll enjoy this tune. It is a self-titled tune from Black and Brown, from their album Black and Brown. The song is called Black and Brown. Enjoy it.
Thank you. long awaited, debated, but fuck it, here we are, broad. Here to say the game, just like a memory card. Memory lost to Cali Drove, to Amsterdam, out on a patio. Rocking like a Beatle, I should record up at Abbey Road. Daddy Flow, there you go, talking that hood rich money talk. Hood rich black male with music that's always in the hood, like crack sales. Or out in the burbs, like E pills, E feels. Niggas can't fuck with them. Shows, plenty fans round the globe screaming out, y'all niggas can't fuck with them. Yup, yup, hit them with that new shit. Hitting off a new chick. They want me in them off like a toothpick. Who flips better heat? See, this shit's timeless. Why y'all niggas got bad timing like teen pregnancies? Better be, better see. We coming with better heat.
Sitting on some Kobe. Smoking on the stogie. Banging Noriega when I'm done. I like the bogey. 40 on the flow mat. I'll leave you holy moly. Banana and her tailpipe. I make her act a foley. Eating on pierogies. Goose mixed with Sovi. Smoking on the OZ. Pimping like an OG. If you never knew me, then you probably never know me. Blade on me, homie, mass on like Shinobi. Ball so hard, got an MVP trophy. Smoke so much kush, shot to get the hoes to blow me. Thick white bitch, slurp a nigga like Kobe. Hoes on the nigga and they all look thirsty. Say they 19 and they all look 30. Every day clean, y'all always dirty. Chronic coming in the same bag as a turkey. Dark color purple when it's tasting like Hershey.
What's happening, cool cats? This is Big Daddy, and I want you to cruise on over to the Funky Roller Rink. We'll be grooving all night long. Doors open at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, every Thursday night, right here on RadicalRust.com.
Funky. Delicious.
Actually, I haven't had a chance to talk to Mr. Armstrong before the show, but we had a great discussion about it. I just asked one of the folks in the show, Bob Backus, well, what is Louis Armstrong going to do? Oh, he says, oh, he's going way up. Way up. Is that the highest you could get?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, why don't you let me say thank you? I'm only sorry you weren't going to be here with us longer. I wish you could have gotten higher, but why don't you go up and say hello to the folks?
Well, I'll get higher next time.
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, you once were just one bust away from being Barry the drug criminal. Life.
caffeine, a box of chocolates gone. That's why people smoke weed and take bumps and drink way too damn much and get drunk and do it all over again. First of the
activism begins with act. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's half past the hour, and joining us via Skype, we have documentary director Rebecca Richmond Cohen. And Rebecca, welcome to the show. So glad to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Russ.
All right. And of course, here in Portland, Oregon, for the premiere of is this a premiere of new footage? Because I thought this movie had been
this
out.
This is new footage. We're working on a campaign right now to raise money to reedit it. But right now, this is the original version premiered at South by Southwest last spring.
All right. So looking forward to this and tell people, I've told them a little bit about the subject of the documentary, being that it's kind of focusing on what happened with Montana. And maybe you can go into a little better detail on that.
Yeah, well, we set out to make a film, to make a verite documentary about what was happening in Montana at the state legislature. And we wound up making actually a very different film. About 6 months into filming, some of the growers we spent a lot of time filming were raided by the DEA. And these were some of the most upstanding business folk we met in Montana. So it came as a real surprise. And all of a sudden, the story seemed really to be about the nationwide federal crackdown on marijuana growers.
So in speaking, you know, in filming this, one of the things that I found to be, you know, I've seen some of the previous versions of this, is that you did a really good job of focusing on both sides of the issue. So, of course, on my show, people get a lot from the medical marijuana side, and they know our side of the issue up and down. What did you hear from the opponents when you were filming them? Why were they in such a hurry to have to shut down what was going on with Montana?
Yeah. So we spent a lot of time filming a group of women who were organizing a movement to repeal Montana's medical marijuana laws. And the interesting thing is that Montana had a medical marijuana law on the books since 2004. And they weren't organizing in 2004. It wasn't until 2010 when there was really a large increase in patient numbers, but more importantly, I think a large increase in the visibility of storefronts and dispensaries that seemed to upset a lot of people. So in Billings, you had, very few, you had almost no regulations, you had almost no zoning laws, and so you had some dispensaries open up fairly close to schools, and that angered a lot of people.
So, but it seemed, you know, when they first came right out of the gate, the legislators outright wanted to repeal and did succeed in outright just completely repealing medical marijuana. Was there never any legislators that just thought, hey, maybe we ought to just, you know, regulate this a little better instead of throwing the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak?
Yeah, there were some, but not many. I mean, the truth is that in 2011, the Tea Party, swept the legislature. And so there was no political will, or there was not much political will, I should say, to create sensible regulations. And the film sort of follows this, you know, as they propose. I mean, it would have been easy enough to enact zoning laws to deal with the concerns that Cherry Brady's and other folks raised. But one of the problems was their tactics was to create a culture of fear around marijuana and to say, look, teen use has skyrocketed. And unfortunately, the media in Montana, the mainstream media, fell asleep at the wheel and no one challenged these statistics. The truth was that by the federal government's own surveys, teen use had decreased every single year since Montana had legalized in 2004. So, you know, I mean, I think had voters known this, I think most legislatures may well have known this, but there still wasn't the political will to enact sensible regulations. They preferred to shut it down.
And that scare tactic seems to have, you know, carried through to this general election where the referendum passed to maintain this new restrictive medical marijuana law. Have you spoken with some of these people that you had filmed, some of the principals, and gotten their reaction to the election and where they plan to go from here?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, folks in Montana are having a really hard time. The vast majority of caregivers have either closed up shop or moved to the black market. The vast majority of patients are getting their medicine on the black market. So it's really a hard time for folks in Montana. And I think everyone's regrouping now to try and figure out where to go next. But, you know, the law right now is of the 18 medical marijuana states is the worst in the country. It is most difficult for patients to get access. You can't, in Montana, you can't sell marijuana. You have to grow it for free. So they have, you know, they have taken, you know, it's not a way to make a living for anyone anymore. And the hope is that, you know, they'll enact some sensible regulations and increase access for patients during this legislative session.
We're speaking with Rebecca Richmond Cohen. She's the director of Code of the West, and the latest iteration, the latest edits of this are up, and we're going to be seeing them tomorrow night at 9 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater here in Portland, Oregon. I'll also be part of a panel discussion after that. There'll be Q&A if you want to ask some questions of Rebecca or experts in the medical and the legal fields here with respect to marijuana. You've got a Kickstarter campaign, I understand, because there needs to be some other stuff done. Can you explain what's going on there and how people can help?
Sure. So we finished the film for the South by Southwest Film Festival last March, but the story didn't end. One of the growers who we followed decided to take his case to trial. And in September, Chris Williams was convicted on charges that carry a mandatory minimum of more than 80 years in prison. So we cut a short film for the New York Times, a video op-ed that was published on their website last week. And we got thousands of tweets. We made it to number two on Reddit. People cared about Chris Williams' story. And so we realized we had to include it in the film, and we launched a Kickstarter campaign to try and raise $30,000 so that we could go back and re-edit the end of the film with Chris's stories and with the stories of some of the other growers in Montana cannabis.
Yeah, and so to get to this Kickstarter campaign, I imagine Code of the West has a website and you can get there from there. So let's
be great. If you go to our website, www.codeofthewestfilm.com, you'll see the link.
Code of the West.
If we don't raise the entire $30,000, then we don't get a penny of what people have contributed so far. So we're working hard to meet that goal.
All right. CodeOfTheWestFilm.com for more information. And come out to the Clinton Street Theater here tonight, Friday night, today's Thursday still, isn't it? Whew, the days all run together. Tomorrow night, Friday night at the Clinton Street Theater, 9 p.m. Here in Portland, Oregon. Do you have other venues planned and other showings planned in the area or just anywhere that people might attend?
Yeah, you can go to our website. We have a whole list of screenings, and we're working with activists around the country to plan a series of grassroots screenings in public libraries, in universities, to try and get the film out and to try and organize people to build a coalition to make some sensible change, because it's an important moment right now. And I think we have rare access to a story about the federal crackdown and how it affects people's lives. So we're hoping to get the film out there as widely as possible.
Now, one of the subjects to your film is also somebody who's been a guest a number of times on our show, and that's Tom Dobert from Montana Patients and Families United. Do we have updates for Tom in the movie as well?
So Tom has a happier end to his story. Tom took a plea offer from federal prosecutors and was sentenced in September. The federal sentencing guidelines put him in between 6 to 8 years. Federal prosecutors asked for 6.5. But the judge was lenient and granted Tom probation. So while no one should have to face 5 years probation for following their own state's law, it's far better than facing 80 years in federal prison. So.
Yeah. And that 80 years that it's Chris Williams, right? That's facing the 80.
That's right. And one of the other partners in Montana Cannabis, Richard Floor, took a plea and was sentenced to 5 years. And he was quite ill. He was an older gentleman, and he fell into a coma early on and never quite regained his health. His family and his lawyer petitioned to have him moved to a federal prison that had hospital facilities. And that request was delayed for months. And in August, Richard Floor died in transit to a hospital of kidney failure. So horrible stories and another casualty of the war on drugs that folks should know about.
Yeah, please do be aware of this, folks. If you can, go to thewestfilm.com and get the information, attend the screenings, and you know, get yourself educated on these people and their cases. Because what I find in having these debates with people is that oftentimes we get this in Oregon. Sometimes one of the leading opponents will say, you know, nobody really goes to prison for marijuana. Nobody's really affected. It's only the real criminals. If they have real big felonies, nobody gets busted for possession. And it's films like yours and the stories that you're telling in this that reveal to people that, no, these are real lives that get messed up pretty bad because of this prohibition.
Yeah. Thanks, Russ. Yeah. 80 years is insane, right? Jerry Sandusky gets a minimum of 30 for molesting young boys. And Chris Williams has never committed a violent crime in his life and is facing the rest of his life in prison. And it is a travesty of justice.
Absolutely. So please get involved in this and learn what you can for these. And Rebecca, I want to thank you for being on the show and inviting us to come out there and help cover this. The more we can get this story out there, because so many people, when they think medical cannabis, they think the West Coast and Colorado, and there's a big story in Montana and it needs to be told. I'm glad you're telling it.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Russ. I appreciate you having me here.
All right. We will see you tomorrow, and have a great premiere.
Okay, you too, Russ. Take care.
All right. Thank you so much, Rebecca. And when we come back, folks, we are going to give a little bit of time for the Radical Rant. Going to talk about a story that will not die, a zombie myth that will not die, and I'm going to put a stake in it and chainsaw its head off as best I can. And a little talk about per se DUIDs. Yeah, we're going there again. Stick around. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, folks, we'll get to the radical rant. We got plenty to rant about, but Brian the Red just came in. And how you doing, Brian?
I am doing fine, just fine, Russ.
You're doing so fine because you are the new Oregon rep.
Yeah, sales rep for Ganja Skateboards. Yeah. So this is a premier opportunity for me. I was so lucky to meet up with John, the president of Ganja Skateboards, when we went down to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in San Francisco, which was actually Berkeley.
Oh, East Bay, actually.
East Bay. You know, we stayed in Berkeley.
But here it is. Check it out. I got a cam on that.
Yeah, we got one of the boards here that I am slanging around. I have yet to hit the shops around town.
Bring that in close so people can see it. It's a chem dog, and it looks like a bulldog, right? There you go. So you got the bottom edge of the deck. You got some pot leaves, and then chem dog. And it's a big bulldog with a gas mask on.
Oh, and then if you look at the close-up there, he's got...
Yeah?
He's got red eyes.
He's got red eyes. Oh, that's perfect.
Oh, yeah, with a little pot leaf in there.
Very good.
Yeah, so, and that's...
Ganja Skateboards.
Y'all. So if you are in the Oregon area... go ahead and send me an email at brian@ganjaskateboards.com, and we can see about getting you out one of these bad boys. Or you can go to ganjaskateboards.com itself and check out all the various styles.
There you go. All right. So let me get to some things I got to rant about here. And the first one is, okay, one of the things that I've got a big problem with in the cannabis community is that, you know, we've got truth, facts, and logic on our side. We got reason and science on our side. So whenever there's something that's not factual, that is unreasonable or unscientific, and our community repeats it, it bugs the hell out of me. The one lately that has really gotten under my craw is the Lincoln quote. You know, the Lincoln quote, prohibition is a cause of intemperance in and of itself, blah, 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 right? It's a fake. It's a fraud. In fact, it was found to be a hoax in 1920. The Georgia Wets, you know, back in the day when there was prohibition and the temperance movement, they were trying to ban booze. You were either a dry or a wet, right? The wet means you wanted to have, you know, legal alcohol. Dry meant you were a prohibitionist, right? So the Wets out in Georgia fabricated this quote from Abraham Lincoln saying the great emancipator was, you know, against what the dries were for, was against prohibition. And they were doing this in Georgia to try to court the what they called the Negro vote back in the day, the black vote, by saying, hey, look, Lincoln was against prohibition. Aren't you against prohibition, too? Well, this was found out. It was found to be a hoax. It was debunked. It was in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, I believe, is the newspaper. Email me, russ@radicalrust.com. I'll send you a link to the JPEG of the debunk, okay? But yet, our cannabis community continues to keep sending that quote out over and over and over again. And the one about Lincoln and his Hohner harmonica, you know, playing harmonica in the hemp fields and all, didn't happen, folks. Hohner didn't make harmonicas until the time doesn't work. I don't even go into it. And there's another one about Jefferson and his veranda and smoking a pipe of sweet hemp. There's nothing in Jefferson's writings to suggest he had ever written such a thing. Not to say he didn't smoke weed. Just saying, that quote's also not backable, right? So I have this thing. It's a pet peeve of mine when people in our community are repeating known falsehoods. So that leads me to what I wanted to rant about. Winston Churchill once said, a lie gets halfway around the world before the truth has a chance to get its pants on. Well, that was uttered in the era of telephones. In the internet era, the truth doesn't even realize its pants are off. There is this story going around about DARE dropping marijuana from their curriculum. That's drug abuse resistance education, right? The DARE program where they bring cops into kids into middle schools because, you know, if you want to teach someone about health, the first person you think about is a cop, right? Anyway, so DARE, I've seen all these posts coming across, people in their blogs, I've seen their Facebook and the shares and the tweets coming around reporting that DARE is dropping coverage of marijuana from its curriculum. Now, this story came out on November 5th, right? Came out the day before the election on a TV news story out of Kennewick, Washington. And it was entitled, DARE Curriculum Drops Pot. And that's the headline, and the news station is KNDU. Now, in the story, a local DARE officer is interviewed saying that the National DARE Office has dropped marijuana from the curriculum starting in December. Now, when I first heard this story, I was a little dubious of the claim. Because, first of all, it's Washington State, and it's on the day before they're voting for marijuana legalization, and it's polling in the majority, and it's a local news station in a county that ended up going 62% for Mitt Romney, right? So maybe a little conservative, let's say. And they're running some story that should scare the hell out of parents against voting for legalization. DARE's going to drop pot. Now, look, if DARE is going to do something as big as dropping marijuana from its curriculum, I think they're going to manage that change with better public relations than some Kennewick cop noticing that the textbook is missing the marijuana page. So I thought that was a little weird myself. When it first came out, I'm like, don't know about this. Mike Riggs, who writes out at Reason magazine, also had some doubts about it. On the next day, on November 6th, he wrote, despite the fact that Washington State is on the verge of legalizing marijuana for recreational use, DARE educates against substances illegal and legal, such as alcohol and tobacco. He also posted an update from a reader who supplied a picture of the new DARE workbooks opened up to the pages that have marijuana on them, that talk all about marijuana. So it's not as if DARE dropped marijuana from the curriculum. So Mike Riggs out at Reason, this is back on November 6th, remember, election day, 8 days ago. 9 days ago? God, it's been a while, hasn't it? Anyway, Mike Riggs sends an inquiry to DARE, to their offices in Inglewood, California, but on his post as of the 6th, he hadn't received any response. I decided to try another way, and that is to take a look at the DARE website. So I went around and I searched the DARE website for marijuana, and this was yesterday I was searching this, and I found 50 documents, 50 documents, 50 documents on the DARE website having to do with marijuana. And if you check the front page of DARE, they have a link there for something called the New DARE Middle School Curriculum, Keeping It Real. They got this new curriculum they got called Keeping It Real. But a quick look at the online curriculum explains that Keeping It Real is, quote, proven effective in reducing adolescent alcohol, marijuana, and tobacco use in 7th and 8th grade students, end quote. So it seems like Keeping It Real is talking about marijuana. Now, further digging at the DARE website uncovers a link to, quote, learn more about this new curriculum taught by DARE. This is on the, like, click here and you can learn more about the new curriculum. All right, so I click and it explains that, quote, the curriculum is designed to help students assess the risks associated with substance abuse, enhance decision-making and resistance strategies, improve anti-drug normative beliefs and attitudes, and reduce substance abuse, end quote. And the number one item listed among their four outcomes is alcohol, cigarette, and marijuana use. DARE is not going to stop trying to teach kids to abstain from marijuana. And they're not going to avoid a discussion of what marijuana is and what effect it has on children. Their books still have all the pictures of the brains, you know, and, oh, look, the holes in the brains with marijuana. They still have all that stuff. They're still going ahead with it. Now, there is a new curriculum, this Keeping It Real, that's being adopted at the cost of $1,500 per school for materials and training, plus 98 cents per unit, that would be per student, every year thereafter, by the way. But whatever the new curriculum is, marijuana is certainly going to be a part of it. But I can sit here and talk all day here, 9 days later, about how this story is most likely false and has not been corroborated by DARE itself and not corroborated by any other news organization on the planet that has school districts within it, and certainly some school person maybe in Michigan or Florida or somewhere might have noticed that marijuana was being taken out of the books too. Just this one cop in Kennewick on the day before the election. It's the one guy who's figured this out. Yeah, we can question that all we want. But while we do, certain websites are retweeting and tweeting again their headline that DARE drops the curriculum, drops marijuana from the curriculum. And the KNDU story, that original news story, has been recommended over 13,000 times on Facebook with some of the most dedicated marijuana activists I know spreading it through their networks. And the marijuana bloggers are all blogging on it too, retweeting the story multiple times, even though it came out on the 5th and it was already questionable by the 6th. I mean, maybe it's just me. I just think our movement already suffers from enough deficit of public trust that maybe we ought to think about being a little more careful when it comes to some of these things. Maybe that's just me.
We don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee. We don't take no trips on LSD. We don't burn no draft cards down on Main Street. We like living right, being free.
All right, welcome back. I wanted to transition here to just a small radical rant at the end of the show about DUI. And this comes up from Huffington Post. They have a story that the headline just caught my eye. With marijuana legal in Colorado and Washington, police worry about stoned driving. It's settled. Pot, at least certain amounts of it, will soon be legal under state laws in Washington and Colorado. Now, officials in both states are trying to figure out how to keep stoned drivers off the road. Folks, let's step in right now and squash this frame right off the bat. Now you're going to try to figure out how to keep stoned drivers off the road? Really? Because now marijuana has suddenly been invented. All of a sudden, now that we passed a law, there will be marijuana. And some people might smoke it. And they might get on the road. Because that's never happened before. This is what the cops are trying to do here. They are trying to establish a frame where marijuana legalization leads to some sort of huge danger, leads to some sort of, what I call SMOF, stoned mayhem on the freeways. And that's the two weapons they got left, folks, is WOTC and SMOF. WOTC, what about the children, and SMOF, stoned mayhem on the freeways. And if we let this stand, okay, now that we've legalized, we need to have a discussion about how to keep stoned drivers off the road. No. If you've been doing your job as cops, you've been keeping stoned drivers off the road, haven't you? Are you trying to tell us that marijuana just suddenly was invented? They're trying to set this up, and this becomes something that they want to use as part of a strategy to set up these kind of laws all across the country. And this is something that the No on I-502 people brought up the whole all the time. And I got to tell you right here that people are going to get upset me getting on this this thing of DUIs, but I've told you from the beginning, I will fight to get marijuana legal. And then once it's legal, then we will fight to fix what's wrong with the law. And clearly what's wrong with the 502 is a per se DUID. We are going to fix that. We're going to keep fighting against that. But folks, there are right now at least 250 people in Washington state who do not have drug convictions right now because of prosecutors dropping their charges. So if there's any idea that DUIs would take over possessions, right now you're 250 behind. So it's just not going to happen. But going back to this story, there's an interesting development in this as far as fighting the idea of per se DUID. And this is something I had discussions with some lawyers about during the campaign. And this is another reason why I didn't fear the per se DUID. And this is something that, again, something that our side needs to learn a little bit about is that there's some things in politics you can't emphasize because your opponents could use it against you. One example, in Colorado, they just passed the law where you can have an ounce and you can have up to three plants mature and all the results of your harvests at home. That last part, all the results of your harvest at home, is huge. That's a loophole through which I can put 200 pounds in my garage, people. Okay, but you can't emphasize that because then you get attacks from the other side. And the same thing happened is happening in Washington state, where you can't emphasize the fact that setting a 5 nanogram means it's no longer zero, means it's no longer anything a prosecutor can come up with. Well, they had 0.6 nanograms in their blood. Let's bust them for DUI. Can't do that anymore. There's just certain ways that these things get attacked. And the latest attack is from this attorney named Fox, I think is his last name, John Fox. This is from the Huffington Post story. A Seattle DUI attorney says he's interested in challenging Washington's new standard as unconstitutional. Under due process principles, he said, people are entitled to know what activity is prohibited. If scientists can't tell someone how much marijuana it will take for him or her to test over the threshold, how is the average pot smoker supposed to know? By contrast, he noted, the science on alcohol is well established. Some states publish charts estimating how many drinks it will take a person of a certain weight over a certain time to reach 0.08. But such a challenge to Nevada's marijuana DUI limit failed in 2002. That's in Nevada it failed, when the state Supreme Court ruled that the legislature has broad authority to set driving standards. The U.S. Supreme Court declined to review that case. So this is, there will be legal challenges to this. And this is the challenge that happens to happen. But the best part about this is the challenge that happens now happens from the standpoint of being a legal consumer, of being someone with a legal right to have that substance in your system. You're no longer just a dirty doper criminal fighting for the right to drive high. Now, you are a law-abiding cannabis consumer fighting for reasonable and scientific standards. And that's a win. Hey, that's all the time I got here for Hour 1, but we'll stick around and take your calls in Hour 2. Toker Talk Radio at 971-533-7111. Thanks for joining us, and for Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.